We're doing Tomel Dvorah, and we had seen that Rav Moshe Cordoviro, the one who composed Tomel Dvorah, explained to us how the 13 attributes of mercy, the 13 attributes of God, can be derived from the verse in Micha, one of the Treyasar, one of the 12 prophets, Micha, the verse that states, Mi el kamocha nosei avon v'over al pesha lisharit nachlato, lo echzik la'ad apo ki chafetz chesed hu, yashuv yirachamenu yichbosh avonotenu, v'tashlich b'nitzulot yam kol chatotam, titen emet li'yakov chesed l'avram, asher nishbat al avotenu mimei kedem. So these verses hold within them the 13, the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 traits, so to speak.
What section of Midot is that?
That is Micha, the 7th chapter, and it's the last three verses in that chapter, verse Yud Ches through Chaf. If I'm not mistaken, that's the end of the chapter. Now we're holding the second attribute, Nosei Avon. God upholds our sins. God is willing to take the weight of our sins. They translate it as pardons iniquity. I think that's a rather loose translation. The word noseh literally means willing to carry the weight of our sins. God is willing to take that weight. And the first attribute we had described is who is like you, God? And we had discussed that that is God's willingness to take the shame, so to speak, that we go against his will. And nonetheless, God blesses us at the very moments when we go against his will. He gives us the power and the ability to go against his will. And we said we are supposed to learn from God this trait of patience, that God doesn't expect us at every given moment to have the power to overcome our traits. God says our mitzvah is to do that, but at the same time God says that if we don't, God has the patience, that God doesn't banish us from the world, but rather God has patience for us to do better and fix it, and God gives us the time to do that. And on the one hand, God expects us to live up to the mitzvot. On the other hand, God created the world with the rachamim, that God has the patience to be, so to speak, long-winded and accept the, so to speak, shame that we do not at every moment do what God wants. Our mitzvot are to do what God wants at every moment, but we do sin. That's the way God created us, and that's not to be used as an excuse, but we should value the fact that God doesn't strike us with lightning the very moment we sin. God, so to speak, is long-winded. God gives us strength and blessing at the same moments when we sin, when we don't deserve it. And now we're going to talk about the second trait, Nosei Avon, that God sustains. God is willing to take the load of our sin. V'arei gadol ma'akodem. Rav Moshe Cordoviro says this is an even greater attribute than its predecessor. Sha'arei lo yaseh adam avon shelo yivra mashchit. Man cannot do a sin without creating some kind of destructive being in heaven. Our actions affect the heavens, and when we sin, so in effect, we're creating not only that the sin in this world, but some kind of heavenly representation of that sin that's called a mashchit, a destructive being. Kiditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in the 4th chapter of Avot, Ha'over avera achat koneh lo kategor echad. When one transgresses a single transgression, he acquires a single prosecutor, someone who's going to prosecute him in heaven.
Now
this Rav Moshe Cordoviro is defining as a bad angel, an angel who has potential to do bad. V'arei oto kategor, this prosecutor, omed lifnei kadosh baruch hu, is standing before God, ve'omer, and is testifying, ploni asani, so-and-so, he created me. I'm standing here because so-and-so created me. Ve'en b'riyah mitkeim po'olam ele b'shifo shel ha-kadosh baruch hu. And no being can exist in this world unless God sustains it. V'arei ha-mashchit hazeh omed lefanav. And God has this destructive being standing before him. U'v'ameh mitkeim. How does this being remain existent? Hadin noten she'umar kadosh baruch hu eini zan mashchitim. Logic would demand that God would proclaim, I don't sustain destructive beings. Let him go be sustained from the one who created him. Why do I have to sustain him? He created him, let him sustain him. And then this being would really have to come down here and take the person's neshama, or cut this person off, or the person would have to be punished, whatever punishment he deserves, till that mashchit gets undone. So what did Rav Moshe Kordveor just tell us? He said, we know that when a person sins, he creates a spiritual representation of that sin. That spiritual representation has to be sustained by something, and logic would dictate that God would say, why should I sustain it? The person who created it, let him sustain it. God doesn't do that. But God rather, he himself sustains, takes the weight of the sin. And just as God sustains and feeds the world, he sustains and, so to speak, feeds this prosecutor, this destructive being, until one of three things happen. Either the person himself repents, and the person will wipe out, will undo this thing that he created through his sigufim literally means when a person afflicts himself, but I don't know that it means necessarily physically. Sigufim, yeah. We might understand this on a spiritual level, that it's painful to do tshuva. I'm not sure which way Rav Moshe Kordveor means. Or else, the righteous judge, meaning God, will nullify this creation through suffering, punishment, and the death of the person who sinned. Or the person goes to Geinam, perdition, and over there he pays back his debt.
For almost a year after his death.
Well, we don't know how long. Not necessarily.
We say Kaddish for 11 months because we don't want to think they have to go for
Well, right. That's but the maximum.
Yeah, it may just be there an hour.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. What does it mean that I have obviously I said, so I didn't understand the part. How do I sustain destructive?
You don't. You would have to. Logic would dictate that we would have to. And how would we sustain him? Either by... He says, I don't understand these things. But he says, the only way we could sustain him is either by his coming down here and taking one's neshama, or cutting off that neshama, or punishing the person. I guess that's how you sustain a malach. I don't know how you sustain a malach. I mean, malachim aren't beings like us. I have no idea. That's what he says. The Hainu Shamach Kain, and that's what Kain said when God said you're going to be punished, and the land won't be able to contain you after you've spilled your brother's blood into it. So Kain said, Gadol avoni mineso, my sin is too great to bear. Ufershur avotenu zichonam livracha. And our sages say that Cain wasn't saying a statement, but rather he was exclaiming in ponderment, Kol ha'olam kulo ata sovel, God, you sustain the whole world. Yirtzeh meaning zanum fanes, you feed, you give sustenance to the whole world. Vavoni kaved, my sin is too weighty, you can't sustain my sin. Gadol avoni mineso was a question. God, is my sin too much to sustain? I have to take the whole weight of my sin. I'm going to suffer down here on earth so badly for my sin. You can't sustain my sin as well after you sustain the rest of the world.
Who's that?
Cain.
Yeah, wasn't that the biggest sin ever committed?
It was, but nonetheless, Cain said, if you could sustain the whole world, can't you also sustain my sin? We see his plea work. You can't carry it. I have to carry it. Perush lefanoso, so to speak, to support it. Ad shashuva taken, till I repent. Meaning, Cain was saying, God, I've sinned, but give me breath that I don't have to carry the weight of that sin, so I can repent. If I have to carry the weight and at the same time repent, that's too difficult. at least give me the time that I can repent. And here we see that Cain really acquired for mankind a tremendous benefit. Imagine a person sins, and the moment he sins, let's say a person takes a piece of pork, puts it in his mouth, swallows it, and a second later, that's it. Everything tastes like sand, and his left hand doesn't work well anymore. Now go repent. The person's half crippled. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, okay, now that you've sinned, now suffer. You repent, eventually I'll pay you back. God says, no, I'll be long-winded. I'll sustain the effects of your sin until you do it. Now, we could understand this on the spiritual level, if we're on the level to understand it, however things work up there. We could also understand it on a simpler level. Every act we do has effects. And the effects are beyond what we see here. So when we try to view ourselves, our sages told us that we should view the world as a scale that's perfectly balanced. There's mitzvot on one side, averot on the other side, and now I walk onto the scene. Da 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 da. What am I going to do? Am I going to tilt the scale this way or that way? I got the whole world, just a little bit this way, a little bit that way. It's my call. And to an extent, we have to recognize that often it is that way. We never know where the scale is holding in heavens. The fact that we choose one way can really tilt the scale. There was a girl who lived among people who were sinners. They were called the Sodomites, Sodom, Amora.
Oh, the third daughter of Lot.
I didn't know she was the daughter of Lot.
Yeah.
Okay, that I didn't know.
And she fed the guy, and they discovered, why doesn't this guy die?
Where does it say? Where does it say she was the daughter of Lot?
It says she was the daughter of Lot. Right in the Bresh, it says that she was the daughter of Lot, and when they discovered that she was feeding the person all the time, they smeared her with honey, put on the wild beasts, and they stung her to death. And that's why Hashem heard the cry of Sodom, reached me, the cry of this girl. It was already too much, and he destroyed all of the four cities.
Okay, so you guys got the story he said? He said a story. No, it's an important medrash. He's saying it was the daughter of Lot. I don't remember that from the medrash, but the medrash Rashi quotes, there was a girl who saw how guests were coming to Sodom and no one wanted to feed them. The Sodomites had tremendous abundance, and they were scared that if people were made comfortable when they visit them, then people would want to move in, and then they'd impinge upon their material wealth. So they had all kinds of laws against helping guests out, and all kinds of laws about harming guests. So there was one girl who snuck food to the guests, and when they caught her, so they took her and they smeared her with honey and put her where there were wild beasts, and they put her on a rooftop where she couldn't move too much, and the beasts stung her to death. And when God came down to judge Sodom and Amorah, God said, "Erdana ve'ere," I will go down, so to speak, and see, "Hachitza akata," is it as she was yelling, "Haba Eli," that came to me, "Asu," that they have done, "Kala," I will wipe them out and finish them, "Ve'im no," and if not, "Ve'ida," I'll know which way it is. So, let's think about things. God says, I'm going to go down and hear her yell. Sodom and Amorah were pretty bad before this story. They were not tzaddikim. But here you had a girl within Sodom and Amorah that did acts of kindness. Perhaps she was tilting the scale one way. And now they put her to death. Not only did they remove that merit from themselves, but they brought upon themselves a sin. So we see that God says, I'm going to go down and see her, what she wailed. Was what she wailed more difficult than all the other sins that they did there? We see what they wanted to do to the guests that came to Lot. These were wicked people. They did many sins. But sometimes there's a straw that breaks the camel's back. Sometimes there is that one act that's gonna break the camel's back. Our sages discuss what was the one act that caused the destruction of the temple. Sometimes we see there is one act, and we never know when that one act is. And our sages said we should view life as the balance scale, and we have that one act in our hands, because we do. Because if we do enough things on the other side, then we keep tilting the scale the other way. A lot of pressure, yeah. So I guess so. We're not supposed to live with too much pressure, but a little bit of pressure is good. So Cain, on the other hand, gained something for humanity. Cain said, God, but give me time. Don't make me suffer the weight of the sin a second after I sin. Cain sinned, and God said, okay, now you're banished. Now you caused the earth to have to swallow your brother's blood. Now the earth will no longer give you peace of mind. You're going to have to wander. You'll never feel comfortable wherever you are. And Cain said, God, you can't sustain my sin. You sustain for a while. Don't make me hold on to punishment. Give me time to repent, to fix what I've done. And this is the attribute that we describe here, that God said, okay. And it seems like God said, okay, not only to Cain, but all of humanity. He doesn't say this here of Moshe Kordaviru, but we see that this is an attribute of God's. And it seems that before Cain made this claim, God wasn't willing to behave this way with mankind. Yeah?
It seemed like Cain had a great understanding of God's creation.
Right.
To make such an assumption, such a claim.
Seems that way, yeah. Seems like they were greater than we perceive. We know of Cain as the first murderer. But here we see a different representation of Cain. I don't know. I don't know also why the sages don't expound upon Cain's tshuva. Maybe he never did a good tshuva. We saw Pirkei.
By his great grandson.
And what does that show? That was a decree. But who said? I don't know about his tshuva, whether he did a good tshuva or not.
I'm saying that he was killed. Maybe Hashem finally caught with him, and that's it.
I don't know. I don't know of sources that expand. We say Reuven was the one who taught us how to do tshuva. We say a lot of other people taught us the concept of tshuva. Yehuda, Reuven, David. But I don't know of anyone that says Cain. So it seems like even though Cain got this for us, I don't know how the rest of his tshuva went. Inken, getting back to our point, Harezo midat savlanut gdola. So this is a greater attribute of God's patience. That not only does God sustain us at the time that we sin and after we sin, but God also, so to speak, sustains this evil creation that we've created through sinning, till we repent. Man has to learn from this, how much man has to be patient, to be willing to put up with his friend's improper behavior, to tolerate someone who has treated him unfairly, and even things that someone else did to us that were bad, until you see even this measurement, that the bad that the person did to him is still existent. A person is supposed to be willing to suffer that until his friends repent, or until the thing undoes itself, and things of that nature. I want to end with a story along these lines. I have a friend whose family had a certain art. I don't remember if it was a form of weaving. In Yemen, they knew how to make a certain jewel that no one else knew how to make. And they'd sell it for a lot of money, and this was the family's parnasa. And one time, they taught a cousin how to do it. And the cousin decided to break the market. And he started making this jewel and selling it for a tenth of what they were selling it for. And he killed the family's parnasa. Now, no, I'm sorry. That's not what happened. The cousin didn't decide to break the market. The cousin was more loose about showing other people how to do it. And he showed someone else how to do it. And that person decided, hey, this is a good parnasa. He made it for a tenth the price. And he killed the market. So my friend's father was very upset at the cousin, and for 30 years he didn't talk to him. For 30 years he wouldn't talk to him. He said, you killed our family's parnasa, you weren't careful about who you showed it to, and for 30 years he wouldn't talk to him. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking that this is what he's talking about. That sometimes he says, we have to be patient, to be willing to accept, even when our friend sins against us, and even when the actions that he's done causes us to, we have to pay for his actions. We're supposed to learn from this how tolerant we're supposed to be, even as long as we're paying the price for what he's done. We have to learn from our Creator this greater level of tolerance, which is obviously easier said than done, but nonetheless, this is the second point that Rav Moshe Kotvir is teaching us as far as how far our tolerance and patience have to go, that we're supposed to tolerate things even though they're wrong, even though we were wrong, and even though we're still paying the price for what the other person is doing, just as God is willing to be tolerant with us when, so to speak, God is footing the bill for us for all the things that we do wrong. And ever since Cain, God says, okay, I'll foot the bill and I'll give you time to make amends. And that's the end of the second chapter.